This episode is sponsored by OSR. Check them out on Instagram at shop OSR.
And if you fancy buying any of the nice hoodies, which are very nice fits, aren't they, lads?
Very nice fits. Some this one looks a little bit like a Valencia badge. That's more of a boxing one, but you got Ronaldinho ones. The iconic Ronaldo photo where he's got the boots around his neck. So yeah, check them out. Thanks very much.
And if you want to go to the website, which is osrshop.co.uk, and that's where you can buy their merchandise. Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to the 10 Pint Podcast. We're here with me, Lucas Normal, and Beefham.
Yes, lads.
And today we've got a very special guest, former footballer and Everton footballer, Michael Branch. How are we, mate?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having us on, lads.
Nah, it's a pleasure. So we'll get started off with like how we normally get started. Like, where did your love for football and like what was your first memory of football?
So my dad was an ex-pro. He was an ex-pro at Liverpool for 3 years. So he sort of pushed me into it, but wanted me to play footy, but I didn't take any interest for a long time till I was about 8 or 9, seven or eight. And then once I showed an interest, come home from school one day, said I want to play footy. That was it was full on from then. I remember going my first Everton game. My granddad took me to my first Everton game, and that was that.
Who were you playing?
Oof, now you're asking me. It's been Chef Wed.
Did we win?
I can't remember, I was really young.
Were you always like a striker as a kid?
Yeah, I've always played up front. My dad was a centre-half, funny enough. But because I was quick from young age, I just went up front and just did it past them. We used to play in big goals and all that. Then when we were like 7 or 8 and full pitches, so it was sound.
Yeah. Just over the top, straight through.
Could you tell you were sort of like better than them older kids, even at that age? Or did you not really think about that like then?
I didn't really think about it, if I'm honest. I used to score more goals than them all.
Yeah.
But obviously other people must have seen it, but I was just too busy playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just too busy playing. I mean, our Sunday league team I was in, it was me, Gerard, Tom Culshaw, so we all, loads of us that like all got like pros and that, you know what I mean? So it was a boss Sunday league. So.
Could you know Stephen Gerrard, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you notice that he was like special?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a year younger than us, but you could tell them back then he was special.
Yeah.
Remember one day he scored, I think it was three times off a corner, straight in.
Straight in.
At what age?
Talking about under
12, 13. Because you'll
have to
be sick that week.
Yeah. I was playing news
day.
I know. I remember we won one time, 32-0. I think I got 16.
That's like Haaland now.
Yeah. Save some of them for the Premiership.
So yeah, moving on. Like, when did you get picked up by Everton, I presume?
Yeah, so I was playing for my school team, Sudley and Egbert, and then I played for the Liverpool Schoolboys Primaries.
Yeah.
And then when I was playing for them, Everton picked me up. So Sid Benson, famous scout for Everton, he got Rooney and Barkley and then a few others. We didn't have a car, we lived in Egbert, so he'd come and pick us up, take us to Belfield a couple of times a week.
Mm.
That was boss.
What age was that at?
I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so how did you first find it then, like, going to Everton?
I loved it, you know what I mean? It was like, geez, this is my dream.
Yeah.
I always want to play for Everton. My dad's a Red and all that, but I think because they sort of released my dad, I didn't want to play for Liverpool, you know what I mean? It was always going to be Everton, and my first game was Everton, so that was it, it was just Everton.
So was it your granddad who sort of instilled the love for Everton then?
Yeah.
That is right.
So, what sort of players are you playing with then, like the names and Everton?
At that age?
Yeah.
Now you're asking. A lot of them wouldn't have made it, because at 10 then you get released and new ones come in and all that, so still speak to a few of them though, but I mean, from the first time I went there wouldn't have been any that made it.
Yeah.
While you were in the academy playing other academies, was there any like players who you just played during then?
So when at that age you weren't really playing academies, you were just playing amongst yourselves. It's a bit different to the day, you know?
Yeah.
It was more of a centre of excellence then, so you'd only go a couple of times a week, you wouldn't really play. And then at 13 maybe, each academy could send 4 players for national trials for the national school. So Lillishaw National School was where they picked 16 players from every academy, and we went and lived there for 2 years. It was an FA national school. So lucky enough, it's over the year trials, and it gets whittled down each sort of trial. So in the end, it gets down to 16, and you decide if you get the offer, do you want to go and live away for 2 years in boarding school, football every day and school? So I went and done that.
Where was it?
So it was in Shropshire, FA National School. So like Franny went, Bawley went, Wes Brown, Michael Owen. So Michael Owen, Wes Brown, Michael Ball, they were all a year younger than me. Carragher was a year older. So each year, there's 2 years. So that year goes, you become a senior and a new one comes in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good. It was footy every day, you know what I mean? Jody Morris was in our year, Neil Clement, John Curtis. So John, Tom Culshaw, he went to Liverpool. So was boss.
So were you playing sort of like up front every day with Michael Owen at that point?
So first year I would have been a junior, and they would have been, my seniors would have been Carragher and Jamie Cassidy from Liverpool their year. And then following year, so every Sunday we play, say Everton, Liverpool would come down and play. Yeah. So the juniors have played Liverpool and the seniors had played Liverpool.
Yeah.
So it was good. We obviously we didn't get beaten 2 years because we were supposed to be the best 16 in the country.
Yeah.
So it was sound. I scored in every game for 2 years apart from one game. That was against Everton. I missed a pen.
Aww.
So were you not attached to Everton anymore at that point?
No, you're still with Everton. Yeah. So you sign schoolboy forms.
Yeah.
So you sign like as it go on. So come to the end of it though, it's time to decide who you want to go on. Signed properly for YCS, and that's when all the clubs are circling. So even though Man U had taken me up to Man U for food and trying to get me to sign, Liverpool are trying to get me to sign. They're doing it with all the players there, know what I mean?
Most of them lads there, though, as you've said, the 16, all of them seem to have made a good career out of it. So that.
So in our 16, in our year, there was so me, who played in the Premiership, would have been me, John Curtis, Jody Morris, Neil Clement, Mark Wilson, he played for Man U with John Curtis. So a lot of them would have made it, but a lot of them then didn't kick on either.
Yeah.
So, but it was a good experience, you know what I mean? It was a laugh. So 16 of us and the other 16 the year above or the year below, 32 of us in this big house in Shropshire.
Yeah.
Going to school and just 2.5 days a week.
Must be some freedom, not like at that age.
Yeah, so we go to school, but we weren't allowed to play for the school team.
Obviously, about that.
To understand the player. Best 16 in the country playing for the school team. So, yeah, it was good, really good.
But so have you just mentioned, like, so at 16, is it you start signing the YTS?
So once you leave school, you have to decide where you're going to go back then.
Why Everton? Obviously, because you're a fan, but Man United, especially at that time, were a massive.
Well, it's funny you should say that. It's like, my heart said Everton, but my brain should really have said Man U. They had the best youth system. They were bringing youth players through a lot more, know what I mean? But I just wanted to play for Everton.
What year were you talking here? Like 93, 94, mate?
So I made my debut in 96, so that would have been 95. So 95 maybe, yeah, when I left school.
Yeah, because that's when like the class of 92 were sort of starting to
so make
the way.
So I really went there, know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, I just wanted to play Goodison.
To be fair, rate your decision there, because like we're both blues ourselves, and I think I'm definitely choosing Everton there every day.
Yeah, looking back now, I mean, I wouldn't change it, but if it was my son, I'd be like, there, know what I mean?
Yeah, do you feel more pressure because you supported Everton? Where did you could maybe like detach yourself from Man United?
At
maybe?
The time, I didn't feel no pressure because everything was going so good, know what I mean? I was like scoring goals, I was playing for England. It was like scoring for England on Sky, everything was going boss, you know what I mean? And then it just Everton loved me. I was coming home on I was 13, 14, coming home for half term from Lillishaw. So you'd come home at the end of term for like see your parents for a couple of weeks. Everton had phoned me, say, do you want to come in and train with the first team? So I'd go in and train with the first team at like 13 and 14.
Bloody hell.
And I was like, this is me, know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember one time going in, I think I must have been 14. I've got the ball and Unzi's come to me and I've just put it through his legs. As you do. And then next time I've got it, come to feet, he's kicked me so high up in the air. Don't ever do that to me again. I was like, okay. But yeah, at that age, you don't have no fear, do you? You just want to play.
Yeah. So what's it like when you sign for Everton?
So funny story, actually, when I signed for Everton, Howard Kendall was the manager. He come, picked us up, picked me, my mum and dad up. took us for a Chinese. His driver picked us up with Howard in the back. Went for a Chinese, New Capital in Chinatown. Then we'd finished, and then he pointed to me and my mum. He said, "You and you, off you go." To my dad, he's staying out with us. My dad didn't come until all hours. Mum was fuming. So, but then I signed, know what I mean? And then I still got I still got a copy of me somewhere. But that was it. Then I knew I was there, obviously, and couldn't wait then to start.
Yeah.
Because we just won the FA Cup. I ran on the pitch at Tottenham away in the semis when Amakachi scored two, trying to get a shirt as a
fan. Yeah.
And then I went to final, at obviously, when we beat United. And then, like, within a couple of months of that, I was training with them. And I was running on as a fan, like, just before that. It's madness.
That is crazy, though.
Yeah.
Who were, like, the standout players at Everton at that time? Obviously, you mentioned before, Big Dunk, but who else?
So, Rydout was still playing, and he just scored the win in the FA Cup final, hadn't he? Big Nev, obviously, is a big name.
Yeah. What's he like? He's like, it seems an interesting character on Twitter, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's strange now. He's always been a bit strange now. I don't think any keepers are normal in the head. But I love Nev. He'd be one who'd try and, like, he'd try and not embarrass you, but no, pick you out in the changes, but just to try and make you stronger as well.
Yeah.
So he's always testing you, but he took a liking to me. And yeah, I mean, sometimes he'd do shooting and he wouldn't use his hands. He'd just use his body and his legs and his head.
His head? Yeah.
Just put his hands and just throw it. It's unbelievable. Best keeper I've ever seen.
A lot say that, don't they? Yeah. Everyone say the best keeper ever.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, I remember playing one game. I think it was a Coca-Cola Cup or something, a night game. Something like a night like this. Horrible. I was sub. I was only like 17 or something. I didn't get on. Didn't have a car. Mum and dad didn't have a car. We didn't have no money. So after the game, I just walked to get the bus home after just being sub for like Everton. And Nev come past and he's like, "What are you doing?" I went, "I'm getting the bus home." He's like, "What?" He's like, "You're not. Get in." Oh, no, he gave me money actually for a taxi to go home. He said, "You don't get buses no more."
Okay. That's crazy.
Imagine that now, though. Yeah, that wouldn't happen now, would it?
Yeah, I was getting the bus to training and all that, and then going down to London to be in the squad order.
You're getting the bus to training?
Yeah.
Couldn't everyone put something on for you? Like,
back then, it was just like, get on with it.
That is mad. You reckon that's good, though, in a way? Because you hear people now, like,
it kept me feet on the ground, know what I mean? Yeah. I think nowadays there's that much money in the game, know what I mean? I think I made my debut on, like, £350 a week or something.
That's like, bad, though.
That's mad.
I think nowadays, if I was to sign the contract that I signed, and as good as I was now, I'd be like, what, 20, 30 grand or something? 17, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you've just mentioned, your debut was against Man United.
Man United away, yeah. 55,000, I think. Just in the tunnel, just looking at their team. It was like Beckham, Schmeichel, Keane, Cantona, Giggs, Sharp. It was like crazy team, know what I mean? Neville, yeah. Pallister. But you're that young. You don't care, know what I mean? You just want to get on there. So we were 2-0 down by the time I got on, but still.
Do you not have any fear of them, no? Because no one, how big, how good they were.
No, because you're 17 and you don't care, do you? You can think you can take on the world. Now,
yeah.
I would have, but back then I didn't.
Yeah.
Just like, get me on. I remember Joe Royal saying to Anders Limpar, "Should we get the kid on?" Because he used to call me the kid. and he said, "Should we get the kid on?" Anders went, "Yeah." He went, "Go on, kid, you're going on." I was like, come on, it's right. the away fans all singing your name, 17 and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm quick as I think. Pallister and Bruce Slow, I'm going to deal with these. First ball down the line, me and Pallister in a foot race. He's kept up with me, then shoulder barge me. I ended up in row D or something. Wow, what's this all about? Welcome to the Premiership.
Must just be purer to them than that, though. Do you know, yeah. When your far face going
on. I had a chance as well. I don't know who it was. It wasn't Amakachi, it was someone else up front. Might have been Amakachi, and he should have played me in. But he didn't, he took a shot. I was like, should have played me.
Do you think you were ready at that time, like looking back, to like play, for example, in the Premier League?
Good question. You know, I've never been asked that. I think so. I felt ready. Whether that was just me, but other people have been around the Premiership longer and thought I was ready. So
yeah,
my only thing was we were, as a team, we weren't creating many chances. We struggled. Know what I mean? We were in the near the bottom fighting relegation most of the seasons that I played. So we wouldn't create that many chances, but you know, It is what it is. It made me think.
Why do you reckon we didn't push on, like, after that cup win? Like, what do you think it was? Was there not, like, a belief in the squad at that point that we were, like, we could win things or
yeah, I'm
progress?
Not sure. You know, I just, maybe we just didn't have the players, if we're honest, and they're all getting to a certain age and that.
Yeah.
So we had Dave Watson and that, didn't we, and Rideout and that, but I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe some signings just weren't, didn't work out, because there was times when we were signing players and I got excited, you know what I mean? I thought, maybe we'll push on again now and the glory days will come back. But
yeah,
I think they're on the way now, but not just
hopefully.
Yeah.
Was Kanchelskis there then when you were in?
A player, yeah.
Yeah, my dad always says he's like the best player he's ever seen play for Everton.
When people ask me, like, who's your best player and all that, best player I've probably played with is Kanchelskis in the same team as.
Yeah.
He does things like I've never seen people do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen a few of his like compilations, and it's just like someone's got like bloody hell.
Yeah, I've never seen someone hit the ball so hard, just smashed it so hard. Best player I've been on the pitch with, I'd say, was Zola. We played at Chelsea away, and Zola played on Viali, and was like, wow, what's going on here? I mean, he used to have these on my shirt, and that was a kid.
Am I right in saying you got your first Everton goal at Chelsea away?
Chelsea away in that game, actually. I think I scored to make it 2-2.
What was that like, the first goal for Everton?
Because
like,
it took a while coming, know what I mean? And it was like, people were starting to say he can't score, and the pressure was building, and then just dropped for me in the box, and I was like, oh, wow, what a relief. Dreamt of that day. The yellow and blue striped shirt on, it was like about 5 sizes too big for me. Oh, it's like amazing. Just buzzing all the way home.
That must be mad. I can't even imagine what that feels like.
I always dreamt of it, and I said, "What I knew what celebration I was going to do. I was going to do like a Shearer, because I love Shearer in a way like that." Yeah. Didn't know what to do. Even still, when I think back of it now, I still smile and get goosebumps. Because I only scored a few for Everton, so I remember them all quite well, to be honest with you. But that was obviously the most special one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you also scored against, I think, Leicester at home, weren't it?
Leicester at home, yeah. We might have won that one, 1-0. That was decent. That was a decent goal, that, to be fair. Got man the match that game. Scored against Rangers as well, because I was looking through my stuff yesterday and I thought, I'm sure I've got a Rangers top somewhere. And we played Rangers pre-season. And I scored one against them, then swapped shirts. I don't know who swapped shirts with, but I was going to throw it on yesterday, but glad they
didn't. So were you one of like Everton's youngest ever like players then at 17? Because I can't imagine.
Be, yeah.
At the time, I was the third youngest. And
yeah.
I the youngest ever to play in the Premiership for any at the time ever.
Yeah.
When I made my debut, I was the youngest ever, because it'd only been going a few, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously I've been beat a few times now off other players in Everton's team.
Yeah.
But still up there, you know what I mean? Still got my name up on the wall in at Finch Farm.
Yeah.
Anyone who's come through and played, made the debut and that. So
what other young players are sort of around your age at that point then? Like in the first team?
So Granty was my mate, who was really close with Tony Grant.
Yeah.
Then coming through, Bawley, Franny Jeffers, Phil Jevons, Danny Cadamartri.
Yeah.
So then what? Gav McCann, Richard Dunn.
He scored in a derby, didn't he, Cadamartri?
Yeah. Good goal, nicked it off Rudiger, I think.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying you started in a derby?
Yeah, I played in two derbies.
Yeah.
Drew one, lost one. I had a chance to score in the draw as well at Goodison. Last couple of minutes, it was 1-1. Big dunk, flicked one on. I still remember to this day. So now I'm running towards goal, just going towards the Gladys, but to the right. And then I don't know why Steve McManaman's there, but he's come across, all faked to shooting me right. He's gone flying, I've cut back in. Now I've just got the goal, Gladys Street end, derby, last 10 minutes. David James, it's on me weak foot, me left, and I pulled it wide. I was already celebrating away.
Is that one of them where you can't sleep for days after?
No,
just
listen,
like,
I just couldn't sleep for days, just replaying it over and over in my head. Oh, I thought I would have been a hero for life.
So when you're playing in a derby, I often think this, like, if I was playing and I don't reckon I'd be able to control myself. Do you like my emotions? I'd just be flying into tackles and stuff. Was that hard? Like,
it wasn't for me, because obviously I didn't tackle that much. But no, you just forget it. Just before it. I remember one time I hadn't played in a derby, and we went over to, it was the night before the derby at Anfield. So we went over, I was like, I've got a chance of starting here, you know. So we went over to stay in at a hotel over the water to be out the way. So the next morning, the gaffers call a team meeting, and I'm starting, I'm like 18, starting at Derby at Anfield. I'm like, it's right, can't wait, phone my dad and all that. I'll get you some tickets, I'm starting and all that. It's a team, and I'm like, it's raining, even better, defenders make mistakes and all that. Like, dreamt of this day playing against Liverpool. So I've got to the ground, it's still raining. Got there and the ref's gone pitch inspection. I'm like, no. He's come back in, game's off. I was like, you're joking. He was like, no, it's off. Oh. It's like, got replayed like in 4 weeks. I wasn't even in the squad. I was devastated.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. Like, that, you know.
That's it. I won't get my chance again, but lucky enough I did. But, oh, so go from there to there in a matter of hours. Madness.
So the other derby, was that on Anfield that you played in?
Yeah. That was my last game for Everton, actually.
Was it, yeah? Did you know it was going to be your last game at the time? No,
I must have played that bad.
Is that the one where Fowler scored?
No.
No.
I think we took the lead. The court, maybe a free kick. And then Franny come on and score, but we still got beat like 4-2 or something.
Yeah.
I hadn't been in the squad for like 5 or 6 months or something, and he just threw me in one day in the derby. I'm like, what's going on here?
That's mad, though.
Who's the manager then, Joe Royal?
No, Walter Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me and Kevin Campbell up front. Yeah, it was all right. Didn't play the... It wasn't my greatest game, to be fair, but...
It's hard, though, isn't it? But if you haven't played for like 6 months...
It was hard, to be fair.
Being 18, starting on the derby like that, having played in 6 months. Some pressure.
I might have been 19 by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I ended up playing 40-odd times for the first team, so I've done all right in the end.
Yeah.
Then went to Wolves. I think I got sold for, with add-ons and all that, for like £1 million. So.
Yeah. Am I right in saying Joe Royal took you on loan to City?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have really liked you then, Joe Royal, must have.
Yeah, he did. I still see him around the club now, because obviously I still work at the club. And, I shattered my ankle. So Joe Royal was... I always struggled a little bit with my hamstrings because I was so quick. And I pulled my hamstring, and then there was a few injuries. I was coming back from my injury, and we were playing my new Boxing Day. So he said, I want you to play Boxing Day. I've been out for like a couple of weeks. He said, so I've arranged a game against Tranmere Youth for you, Christmas Eve. Just give me half a game, 45 minutes, just get the cobwebs blown off, and you're starting against Man U at Goodison Boxing Day. I'm like, it's right, can't wait. Yeah. I think I'm 17 now, you know what I mean? It's I'm 18 actually. And 9 minutes into the game, some young kid from Tranmere must have thought, I'll make a name for myself here. He's gone right over the ball and shattered my ankle.
Oh.
That's it, I don't kick a ball now for nearly a year.
But yeah, do you know that moment, soon as you like feel the tackle, you're like, fucking hell, I'm out for ages here, or is it like afterwards?
At first I didn't think, I was just the adrenaline and all that, so then I stood up and tried to stand on it because I thought, I don't want to show my head here and get off, and I just collapsed and then got carried off, just in hospital, or Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, just thinking, what's going on here?
That's a chain of events there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just like, that's a career can change just like that, you know what I mean? If I didn't get injured, I could have scored against Man U, could have just gone on to like loads of confidence, carried on. And but everything happens for a reason, so
it's all good. So
going back to Joe Royal, it was then when I was getting fifth from me being out for so long, Everton wanted to send me out on loan to get some game time
because
I hadn't played for like 9 months, 10 months, and Joe Royal took me to Man City. Yeah.
So
what was that like? Do you feel less pressure there? Obviously because you're not locally from
here. And they were in a couple of divisions below because they hadn't moved up just yet. I think they were in like League One or something.
At Main Road, yeah.
Yeah, Main Road. Bit like Goodison, old stadium. And when a manager likes you, know what I mean? It gives you confidence. So I knew he liked me. So that makes a big difference. But... funny you should say that. I mean, best football I enjoyed the most was when I was at Wolves because I was away from the city.
Yeah.
Less pressure. Like, this city is like everything is just football, isn't it? You put on the radio, you go on Insta, you go on Echo, but Radio City back in the day. It's just like you couldn't get away from, especially if you're not playing well, know what I mean? So to go to Wolves, I could just go, play, and then if I wanted a break, I could just come back to Liverpool for a bit.
Yeah.
Get away from Wolves fans. But when you're in this city, living it,
yeah,
brought up and everything, it's just football. I started to hate it in the end, know what I mean?
People's like, there's rumours that players, I've heard this about him on YouTube actually. I don't know, I heard that Ian Goodison and things, right? Apparently, like, our players hate playing at Goodison and they'd rather play away from home. Is there any truth in
that? I can imagine some players, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Especially if you're not having a great season, the team itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd always like to play at home, to be honest with you, but I didn't ever feel that much pressure off the Everton faithful because I think I was one of theirs. I was youngsters, Evertonian through and through, and they just wanted me to do well. It's just them Reds that I got it off.
So, you know, with Wolves, like, was that hard moving there? But then, like, who was sort of at Wolves at that point? So,
so at Wolves at the time, so Colin Lee was the manager. He took me there on loan first, and then they ended up buying me. So he really liked me, and I scored two on my debut against Man City live on Sky in the Championship. So I was off to a flyer. You know what I mean? The fans took to me straight away. It was a playing with them. Steve Bull had just retired, so I just missed him. I can't really remember who I played up front with. That might have been Amakachi. Remember Amakachi? Akambayi. Big one, went to Leicester, massive, took off his top that time and ripped like...
You'll
have to Google him. Unbelievable. He used to get changed next to me, you should have seen the size of him. And he'd go to me, he'd get their team and go, French, who do you want me to get today?
As long as it's not me.
Yeah, but Google him, you should see the size of him. But it was such a nice fella off the field, but on the field, just an animal. Yeah, and Muscat, Kevin Muscat, ever heard of him?
Is he the one off the Warnock Warnock thing where he headbutts someone at half time?
Yeah, so he got voted the most hated footballer in football. Right, yeah. He's round the bend, he's an Australian, and he was my best mate at Wolves. And off the pitch, he was lovely. On the pitch, he's round the bend. And I think he got done for. He broke Bellamy's leg and someone else's leg, and he like got taken to court over one of them because he was whatever. But he said to me, "We got mates and we're out one night." He went, "I've got to tell you something that's been playing on my mind." I went, "What?" He said, "I come over from Australia and I was on loan at Palace." He said, "And I needed to get a move to the UK, to the Premiership, so I was doing everything I could." He said, "We come to play Everton." He said, "And they were all going on about this young kid who's supposed to be the next best thing." He said, "I'm going to go out and do it. I'm going to put one rod on and break his leg. So everyone will be talking about me. That'll be it." He said, "I couldn't get near you." Yeah, I know. It's mad, isn't it? But such a nice fella, but I wouldn't like to play against him. Horrible. You'll have to Google or YouTube his worst tackles round the bend.
Who's the worst player you played against in terms of like sort of violence but like disciplinary? Like, you played against Robbie Savage?
No, I didn't like Dennis Wise. Played against Dennis Wise a few times.
Yeah, he was horrible.
He'd try and pick you up and pinch you though at the same time. Know what I mean? Like horrible things, or mark you and pinch you and turn it. Like, what are you doing? He's only that big.
He seems like a little marking, doesn't he?
Yeah. But remember playing against Ian Wright, and Ian Wright was one of my heroes. I loved Ian Wright, and I had his book, I'd just read it, and after the game I went into the Arsenal changing and said, "Righty, will you sign this book for me?" Like, I was only 17, and he put two branches, score goals, it makes you feel good. Ian Wright. Still got it now. So he's a good one. Yeah,
that's just mad, Aaron. Not like, imagine like a player going into the other three teams changes now to get a book signed. Do you know what I mean?
That's what we're a kid, when I really he's like turned 17, just thinking he's me ear off. I remember I must have been only like 16 or 17, and I was away with the under 21s and I roomed with Beckham. I was like, wow, everyone's going on, oh, this Beckham, he's with a Spice Girl and all that, and there's me and him just like chilling.
This is so
nice.
Your
eyes sound, you know.
Yeah,
we went to, the one thing I will say though, it was a too long tournament, so at the end of the season it's like this French tournament, I don't think they do it anymore. We had this long he was the captain, and we had this long coach journey, 2 hours or something, so I was sitting next to him, and he had an old disc walk, when you might not know what they were.
Yeah, I've seen them.
So he had two, he went, "Do you want to listen to one?" I said, "Yeah, go on," and he had "Take That's Greatest Hits" on it. I had to listen to that for like 2 hours. I was scared to say no to it, I don't want to listen to it. It was good days, yeah.
Did you enjoy going away with England?
I got a bit of homesick, you know.
Yeah.
I was listening to Neville and Paul Scholes the other day, and Scholes was saying he used to get homesick all the time when he went away. Mm. I'd just rather be at the club and stay at the club. I didn't like that, no break in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously playing for your country, I played for all of them apart from my full cap. That's the only one that's missing from 15s all the way up. So, should really find out where they are. I can't even remember where they put them.
What was like your like favourite moment at Everton then?
Famous moment, Derby. For scoring my first goal in front of Gladys Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously my debut. I mean, all of it really, playing for Everton. Apart from when we got beaten, when I didn't play well. But I go back now and I work back at Everton for the last 3 years now in the community on our charity side.
Yeah.
And we take kids for tours around the stadium. And like, still coming up that tunnel, you still get the feeling, know what I mean? And then you see it, and the pitch is like that, so you can't see the other side of the pitch. And it's it's still. And then you go round, you see me picture on the wall, and all the team photos and all that. So it's good.
Whose decision was it for you to leave Everton? Was it yours or something?
No, it was Walter Smith. He just didn't like me no more, didn't fancy me no more, which managers do. And then it's time to move on, know what I mean?
What's that process like? Did you like bring it in his office and like say it as it is, or?
You sort of just get the feeling, so you might not train with the first team no more, you might have to train with the reserves.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me.
Do you ever go knocking on his door saying, like, why is that happening?
You can do. I mean, I just knew it. This just didn't really, we clashed, me, Walter Smith and Archie Knox is number two, we just clashed. And
yeah.
I knew it was time to go.
Was it like heartbreak leaving, or was it sort of excitement of a new challenge?
It was heartbreak leaving Everton. But also it was time to leave, no room.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm not doing myself no favours staying, and I need to go and start playing first team again and getting my confidence back and playing football.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'll just be here and my contract probably was running out, and it's just time to go.
Yeah. I seen something on your Wikipedia about scoring for Wolves. Correct me if I'm wrong, and you scored against Forest.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to get taken off for your own safety because all the players were fuming.
Yeah, there was murder that game. So we were like 3-1, I think we were 3-0 up or something, or 2-0 up. And Dave Besant, the back passer's coming, it's bobbly pitch, he shanked it, and he hasn't gone out of play. I'm like, I'm playing on here, he hasn't gone out of play. He's saying he tried to put it out of play because someone was injured. They're behind me, I can't see if someone's down. So I'm playing on till it's out of play. So I've gone to him, one-on-one with them, great finish, 3-0, run away, celebrating, the murder now. They want to kill me. I can buy, he's grabbed someone at half-time, he's punched like a fire door. Now, like, fire doors are so thick and so hard, and there's a big hole in him. Oh, he's got sent off or something. Yeah, so, and then they had to go and play Forest away. I thought, I'm going to get lynched in and killed, but so I just get on with it. Yeah, but that was wasn't one of my greatest moments, but. Good finish.
Have you seen it go off a lot then, playing football, like, where there's been murder?
Is there any in training that you like? Does that happen a lot? Sort of fighting on that?
Not so much fighting, but you can have arguments, know what I mean? I remember being one of my first training sessions, and you know when you play the circle game where someone's in the middle and you're keeping it from them. And I think I've got it, and like passed him, Paul Rideout sort of left a late one on me. I was like, okay. Well, I'm only like 16, 17. It's like, next time he gets it, I'm going to leave one on him. So I'm waiting for him to get it. He's got it. He's jumped up and grabbed me, so now we're grabbing each other. He's just scored the winner in the cup final. I'm just a young kid. Like that, big dunks had to come over and grab us both apart. But my dad was like, because my dad was a pro, he's like, don't let no one take the piss, know what I mean? If someone does a bad challenge on you, you've got to, can't just take it.
Yeah, what's it like sort of training day to day? Because like, there's been strikers there like Kevin Campbell, Duncan Ferguson. What's it like training with them?
You know what? They're just like your mates. Just go up there and train, just have a laugh, really. I mean, Duncan normally always want to go and goal, and Neville always normally want to go front. That's how it was. You know what I mean? You play 5-0s of a Friday, and like, you'd want Neville on your team. He was just so good at 5-0s and that.
Yeah.
But you had your good pros, know what I mean? Gary Speed, what a player he was, and what a pro, know what I mean? He was unbelievable as a pro. So sad what happened to him.
Yeah. Who was your favourite manager, you'd say, you played
definitely
under?
Joe Royle.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. As I say, I still see him around the club now. and he still calls me the kid. Been older now, boss. Still call him boss or gaffer, but he's like, how are you, kid? And yeah, he just know when someone, Howard Kendall as well, I loved him, know what I mean? He was one of my idols growing up.
He was better, like, tactically also then.
I think Howard Kendall had a better team, better squad.
Yeah.
So probably Howard Kendall, but Big Joe, you know what I mean? He's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about it, really. I didn't really have no money. Other good managers, apart from
that. Don't rate them, though.
No. None of them like me, really. Yeah, so Dave Jones, he was a scouser, weren't he? I had him at Wolves, but we fell out there.
Yeah.
So. How long were you at Wolves for, then?
So, Wolves, like 4 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then started not enjoying football, and then that's it. I was just like, heart wasn't in it no more.
Why do you think that was? Was like a series of events, or...?
I think because I've been involved in it so long and I've been sort of up here for so long, and then I was so gradually dropping down and down and just heart's not in it, know what I mean? And went to Bradford, then Chester, and I was like, you know what, that's it. I phoned Chester up one day, I still had like, I think a year and a half left on my contract, and I was like, I'm not coming in no more. Was like captain of Chester, and I was just like, I'm not coming in no more. I think I was 27, something, just didn't want to play no more.
I can half see how that's happened there, though, because you've lived your dream of playing for Everton, and then, as you've just said, going down.
Like, you started, peaked very early.
Everyone says that, and I said, yeah, I peaked when I was about 15, 16. And from there, it's all downhill.
Maybe if your career was the other way, and you sort of, started the chest and then went
off. I think there'll be a lot more protection for someone like me.
Yeah.
So, back then, we didn't have, like, any sports scientists or sports psychologists or that.
Yeah.
I'd struggle with me head, know what I mean, with depression and everything. I had no one to talk to.
Yeah.
Back then, we had a physio and an assistant physio who would come in on match days. Now, they've got 27 sports science division at Everton.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think that would have helped, because I would take everything home with me if I had a bad game. I'd replay it over and over and over and over and over, and then if I didn't score the next game, my confidence would go down again, and so it would be different nowadays.
Yeah.
How did you let your family react when you said, like, I'm packing 40 in? Or your mates or whatever?
I think they just knew, know what I mean? They could just see I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just when it became a chore and I wasn't enjoying it no more, I thought, you know what, it's not worth it, just going. But then again, I stopped for a bit, and then I decided to go to Australia for a bit, change the scenery, done me coaching badges, and then I thought, I'll go to Australia. Went to Australia for 2 years, coached out there, and started playing again, and really enjoyed it, know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, I could just play, I was playing like, wasn't a great standard, but train twice a week, play of a Sunday, then after it was barbecue and all, I was on good money, living the life, know what I mean? The kids were loving it. Just no pressure, just going and enjoying it. I played centre half actually out there.
Who are you playing for? Were you pros or like?
Sunshine, Coast Fire, so it was like semi pro.
Yeah.
But it was decent money, better money than it was at Bradford or Chester.
Better lifestyle as well.
Better lifestyle. There, yeah. Pick the kids up from school. What do you want to do? Go to the pool or the beach? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'd love to go there one day, you know, Australia.
That flight though.
No. Long one, innit?
What made you come home then? You
so
it?
We only had a two year visa.
Yeah.
So then we had to apply for a proper one, but we weren't going to score enough points, so we had to come back, and then we had to like get some more points because it's all done. The visas are done on points. So I was going to do an accountancy course, and my wife was going to do some kind of nursing course or something, and then go back.
Yeah.
But we just never got round to.
Yeah.
It's a shame. You know what I mean? But it's one of those things.
So what like happened next then, like after football, like what was your focus?
Focus, nothing really, you know. I had some property that was getting me through and that, so I was just literally just working with them, and one thing leads to another, and then obviously I've made a couple of bad mistakes in that time when I've come back from Australia, and then obviously went to jail.
Yeah. What was that like? Like, as a footballer, did people, like, in jail know who you were?
Yeah, obviously, because it was a Liverpool jail. So, lucky enough, so the first night I arrived in jail, it was already late, so it was shut down. So I just got taken to my cell, locked in. So I hadn't seen anyone else. And then the next day, I heard the doors all getting open, and I just heard this noise. It was like being at the game, just out. I was like, what's going on out there? Then the doors opened and I've looked out. So I'm on a wing, induction wing, which are the worst wings, say 200 people on there. And it's just like the Wild West, kids running around, men. I'm like, wow, am I going to survive this? So I've come out, looked, and then at the end, one of the guards used to be at Everton with me. He was a year younger than me. I'm not going to say his name, but he was a year younger than me. And I was like, oh, thank God for that. I know someone, know what I mean? So he come and see me later on. And he said, what's going on, Michael? But that, my name that I'm christened with is Paul Michael Branch. So everything legal is Paul.
Yeah.
So I'm down as Paul. So he's come up to me and said, Paul, he said, you don't half look like you're Michael. Because he thinks I'm Paul and Mike. So I'm trying to stay under the radar. I don't want no one to know. And he's like, how's your Michael doing? And I'm like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he's in Australia. So there's me thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just like pretending I'm not me. Then he's come back later on after lunch and he's gone, I've Googled your Michael, you know, he hasn't got a brother. And I was like, Wayne, it's me. Yeah. He said, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I've just fucked up on that, didn't I? He said, do you know anyone in the jail? I'll get you to somewhere where you know some people or that. And someone said the cousin was on this wing or whatever. And I went there, and then lucky enough, there was loads of Evertonians on there. And I was like, it's good, know what I mean? As good as jail can be, obviously. But it was a big help. And then from there, I just got my head down. Done my personal training courses, done my accountancy courses, become a gym orderly, run like sort of the football team in there, and just, that was it.
But yeah, everyone wants.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was a couple of players who used to come in who were decent.
Yeah.
A few scallies who should have made it but went down the wrong path. But we'd play every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd referee mostly because I didn't like to get involved that much. Then we'd have a big games over the weekend of playing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got myself fit, sorted my head out, had a bit of counselling, and I haven't done anything since.
So how long were you in for then?
So I got 7. 7 years I'd done half of that. So, big shock, know what I mean? I'd never been in trouble in my life before.
Mm.
No bail, no nothing. As soon as I got arrested at the door, that was it.
I think they made an example of you because you were a footballer.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. It was a bit harsh, I think, for first offence, what I got. But it is what it is. And you know what? It's made me the person I am today. So now, working back at Everton, before COVID, I actually go back into, I used to go back in that jail every Tuesday to do coaching and talk to the lads in there.
Yeah.
And then, thank God I could leave at the end of the session, yeah. Know what I mean? But I've seen lads who'd been in while I was there, then gone out and come back in. Mm. It's just, so now at Everton, I work for our interventions team in the charity. So we try and help kids who look as though they're going down the wrong path or maybe already down the wrong path, and try and get to the bottom of what's going on and how we can help as a club. Because as a club, Everton were unbelievable with me. They'd come and see me when I was away. They never turned their back off on me. And then when I come out, I got a job there. So, unbelievable.
I suppose it's good to, like, kids who are going down the wrong path to have someone like you who's been to prison.
Yeah.
And you can obviously see, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So today we had a group in, about 10 youngsters. And I'd done my talk, so I've got, like, a 30-minute talk where I talk about my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just see the football bit at first, then they hear about the other bit, and they're like so many questions, and then they ask me, then they'll come up on their own and ask little questions and all that, but they all respect me after then, and hopefully I'll get a message through to some of them, know what I mean? It's not good, and it's not big, and it's not clever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It feels good doing it.
Yeah.
Give something back.
What do you do, like, do you know, on a day-to-day, do you sort of, when you first get there, you probably get into a routine at some point, but when you first get there, what are you thinking? Like, what's it? Can you sleep? Or like?
No, I'm up just writing letters for the first, like, because for the first 4 months, don't forget, I'm on remand, so I don't know how long I'm getting. I could be getting 1 year, even at sometimes I'm thinking I might get a suspended sentence. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking I might get 10 years. So for the first 4 months, your head's all over the place. So you're just trying to get through day to day, know what I mean? Just get the gym as much as you can, and write letters and see family and loved ones. And then sort of when it So then I got, funniest thing, well, not funny, but it's just ironic. So I'm a new man, so I'm getting taken to court every now and then for different proceedings. And then I've got to go one final time to get my sentence. So I'm in Old Course, which is exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to Chester Crown Court. So been about four times. Then this one's on my way back. So to get sentenced, you get taken there, you get woken up at 6, get produced to court for about 8. Then you can be up in court from 9 till 5 and you don't know when you're going to get called. So you're just waiting, thinking it could be now, could be now. Every time you're there, someone walk past. So I got called up about 4 or 5. One of the last ones of the day. So I'm thinking, I spoke to my solicitor, spoke to the police, and they were like, I'm thinking I'm getting like a, he said max 5, the police. I come out with a 7. I'm like, what's going on there? So then we're coming back. It's November the 12th. Never forget it. And it's dark, similar to night tonight. And then we've come back and we've come a different way for some reason. Don't know whether they've done it on purpose or what. And we're stuck at the lights outside the mega store, facing Goodison. And I can look out my window and all I can see is the big Everton badge all lit up. And I'm in this van going to do 7 years. And I'm like, what? Where did that happen? What went on? It was like, it was just surreal. It was like, geez, talk about going from there to there. I'm just looking at the big badge all lit up and I'm thinking, wow, what went wrong there?
Fucking hell.
And then went back, got my head down, got some counselling, got my head down, got into a routine, and you know what, it went quick.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you click like reset on your life in prison.
Yeah, that's
and then,
it. It was like just, now what can I do? I spoke to my counsellor and she was like, you've got two ways. You can moan and say, oh, I'm not supposed to be here, poor old me, and your little victim, this and victim that. Or you think, what can I do now? How can I better my life? So I was like, right, that's it. I'm going to get the fittest I can. I'm going to study. Like I study, people would come into me and say, what are you doing studying? You think you're going to be an accountant when you come out of here? I'm like, yeah. Like people playing on PlayStations all day and all that, like off their heads on spice or something. I'm like studying, then going to the gym, and that's it. It's like I'm not bothering with anyone who isn't like me in there. And you know what? They were all sound in the end and come out, and it's been good since.
Yeah,
can't argue. Yeah, lived my best life.
So do you know when you first came out?
Yeah,
it's gonna sound a bit mad, but it was like, did you want like a certain scran or something when you first came out? Because can imagine like beans are like for me anyway, I'm a big lad, like being deprived of like a takeout for that long.
No, this might sound mad, but I remember because I've got home leaves, don't forget, in between. So I come when I'm in Cat and Kirkham, I can come home at weekends sometimes. So for the last year you can sort of like come home at weekends.
Oh, okay.
Mm. So I'm coming home at weekends and I remember going into a Costa, and I'd never been into a Costa before, and I was just like, wow, what's all this? It's like, I just want a coffee.
Yeah.
It was all mad names and all that. Like, I just said to the woman, like, I just want a coffee. She said, what kind? Like, a black one. It was Americano. I said, is that what they're called? Yeah, one of them. So, but, you know, it's, people said to me, you'll meet the worst people in the world and the best people in the world in jail, and I've got some good mates who I still speak to. But obviously there's some bad people in there as well. It's not nice. I remember speaking to one fella and he was, it's mad you'll get it because of football. And he was like, talking. I was like, always ask each other how long you got left or that. And I was like, how long have you got left? He said, I've only got 4 more World Cups. So he was doing his time in World Cups. I was like, wow. So we had over 16 years to go, know what I mean? So that's just 4 more World Cups. Like, wow, how did you get through it?
How many do you reckon you have left then?
Oh, when two? Was that then? Yeah, 2. This will probably be, what have I been out 17? So it might have 1 after this.
That's some way of putting it, that. 4 World Cups. So.
Are you allowed to watch footy and stuff in the prison? Like, are you still sort of up to date with it? Like, with stuff like that?
Just matches a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a radio and a telly in your room, obviously.
Yeah.
So, watch that. And obviously, there's always the banter and all that. You'd listen to it if there's a night game on or that, know what I mean? Then there's all a bang on whenever someone scores. And as long as the Manx don't win. That's what it was like in there, but I don't mind, man. You, to be fair, as long as it's not Liverpool. But yeah, I mean, and then I come out and haven't looked back. I still go back in there and still go in and do my talks back in there. And Yeah, it's a part of me I'm not proud of, but it's also a part that I'm sort of half glad I went through, because I've found who I am now, and now I know I can go and help people. And just because you've made a mistake, that doesn't make you, know what I mean? Just one mistake doesn't define you, who you are as a person, until you're in that situation where you've got young family and your house is about to get repossessed and you're going to be homeless. No one knows, I don't think, what they're capable of in them situations.
I suppose your experiences, you're doing your talks, and that's probably saved a lot of people from going down a bad route, hasn't it?
I'd like to think so. I mean, even if I just saved one or two, that's enough for me. And I want to get my talks out there more as well, because I think it's powerful. Every time I do it, people say to me, wow, that's powerful, and hopefully doing this, people might hear it, and if someone wants to come and give a talk.
Has many schools got in touch with you?
Well, I'm just talking to schools now about going in as well. And the police want to try and do some kind of crime stop. When it was the knife crime, but now it's gun crime and that again, so maybe we can do something with them as well.
Yeah.
Going to schools. But as a charity, we're unbelievable, the amount of programmes we have going. So you can be in one of our programmes from when you're first born, new dad's one, to Alzheimer's, the older ones, know what I mean?
There's a
programme for everyone. We've got over 52 programmes, I think, at the minute.
Bloody hell.
In the community.
I think that's something that Everton are really good at, isn't it, now? Like, Everton in the community, it is normally Everton. This is not just because of the Blues, like, compared to Liverpool. That seems to be doing a lot more.
Yeah, I think we've been going a lot longer than Liverpool. They're starting to catch us up, but I think football charity were probably the best in Europe, without a doubt.
Yeah.
The biggest. Who received funding? We've received the most funding than any other football charity, I think, in the world, actually. Football charity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any other ex-players working for Everton community?
So we've got a couple of younger pros who were pros, didn't make it. Steve Wynn, Lee McArdle. Then obviously you've got our ambassadors, Snods, Diamond, Graham Stewart. Pat Van Den Howie's in the part as well, he's in the charity, so I mean, they do look after their own, know what I mean?
Yeah
I will say that about them.
So you seen Jose Baxter, did he let him get back on track?
We have a thing, the Everton family, which is like covers all of us, and it is a family, know what I mean? They do look after you once you play for Everton. You're part of the family. Hopefully be run taking part in this new programme, so we're going to do a lot towards our former players. It's because we're saying as a club we're not doing enough for our former players.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get as many back for the last season at Goodison.
Yeah.
Before, so whoever's played at Goodison, get them back, and then maybe, I don't know, for the last game, get as many on the pitch for the big photo.
Yeah.
Before our last game.
That'll be bossed out,
So that'll be good. But anything, I mean, the club, more or less, have not saved me life, but didn't know what I mean. They've been a big part since I was 8.
Yeah.
They could have easily turned their back on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
What was your first, match you went back, first Everton game you went to, after?
Okay, when would that have been? I can't remember the actual date, but I do remember it took me a long time to go.
Did it, yeah?
Yeah. And when I went with the cap on, my hood up and all that. Didn't want anyone to see it because I felt ashamed of what I'd gone through. And then it took me a while when I first come out, I wouldn't leave the house or that because I didn't want no one to see me.
Yeah.
You should have played football and you ended up in jail and that. And it's and it took a while for me to get the confidence and then to change me thinking, no, it's okay, you know. And then... Now I just go there and everyone says hi, and I'm like, yeah. So I've gone in the hospitality, our lounges, half time, and Q&As and that, at half time and after the game and all that. I don't mind, though.
Yeah.
Ask me whatever you want. I'm not it's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a good dad. My three kids still love me.
Yeah.
All's good.
Yeah.
Is there any pieces of advice that you'd give to 17-year-old you or someone that is a young pro?
Yeah, good question again. I'd say talk. Don't keep it in, know what I mean? As they say at the minute, it's okay not to be okay. It's I would keep everything in. It's just be in my head.
Yeah.
Just talk and just go. No, it's not weak to talk to someone, but back then I think it might have been, you know what I mean? Like, to me to go to the manager, I'm struggling a little bit with my mental health here.
Yeah.
Like, laugh at me, what are you doing, you know what I mean? But now, it's a bit more, I think you can say it a bit more now, but definitely just go and talk to people.
Do you think even in a dressing room now, though, do you think people still don't want to?
I still think people, even though it is out there, I still think people don't talk as much as they can, especially to the teammates. But, I mean, we have that many counsellors and that now, and a play care team, which will have a wraparound surface for them. And not to worry what people think too much. Like, I used to worry what everyone think. Like, I'd be doing your thinking for you, thinking, oh, they think I'm...
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's not talking well here. That's what I used to would be thinking. Oh, and it's like, I just forget it. It's none of your business what other people think about you. Just get on with your own life.
Have you seen on the Arsenal documentary, their players have an appointment every week where it was like some fella, I think he was a psychologist, but every week they have an appointment and he might not have anything like wrong, but you just speak to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's good the way they've set that up.
Yeah, that's possible. Well, there's been a couple of jobs going to Finch Farm in our player care team in the academy, so I'm been looking at that maybe, just to be around the players, and I've been in your shoes. I've been 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And I've probably done probably a lot more than you've done, or if any problems you've had, I've probably had them myself.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be good at that job. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Maybe I'll get that job.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you have any more questions before we finish up then?
What would you say like the best ground is you've played at, apart from Goodison?
So 15 England schoolboys played Germany away, 65,000 in the Olympic Stadium.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. England schoolboys against Germany schoolboys. So for the day, they give all the German schools the day off, but they've got to go to the game.
Yeah.
And there was like, we trained on an army base and all our kids went, we had a little English thing there. Oh, it was amazing. Like, and I played at Wembley three times, the old Wembley, that was decent. But, I liked Highbury, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Spurs and that now, and that stadium's just like out of this world.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable. That's the best stadium I've been to.
Yeah.
Now, went to watch the American football.
Is any players in that German team?
I can't remember, you know, if that far long ago.
Probably would have been though, wouldn't it? Like, if they're at that level,
FO. I think played for England under 17s. We got beaten in the European Championships by France in the semis. And there must have been some players in that France team because they were unbelievable. No one went on and played.
Some of them might have won the World Cup.
Yeah.
In 1998.
Yeah, exactly. So it's mad, isn't it? It's like, I should really do more research. It's just, you're just playing and you sort of forget.
Yeah.
But even looking for that Rangers shirt yesterday, like my girlfriend, she's got all my shirts. Like, they were all in a bin bag.
Yeah.
She's got them out, washed them, ironed them. They're all folded neatly and all that now. And going through some of the shirts and all that, I'm like, wow.
What would you say your most prized shirt is?
I loved, like, you might not know, it might be told for you, but I love Roberto Baggio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a signed shirt of him.
Last bastard.
Like, he was like my idol of all idols, know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ponytail and all that, but that's it. What other ones? Obviously, my first debut shirt, that's this, all signed. Yeah. Let's get that framed really and up. That's it, really. Back then, you only had two shirts for the season, so you couldn't really swap.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
You're allowed to swap at the end of the last game of the season, all that.
Have you got any mad stories?
Mad stories, not really, you know, mine was quite quiet, some of them I can't repeat. No, not on too mad, sorry.
Nah, that's all good.
Awesome. Yeah. But no.
Yes, obviously you're a striker as well. Do you reckon, as a striker, do you reckon Haaland will beat the Premier League record for goals scored, like, in a single season?
As long as he doesn't beat Dixie Deans, I don't care.
Imagine he does that.
Oh, I don't. Well, I was seeing something the other day, I think after eight games, they were both on the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dixie, but
on the ninth game, Dixie scored 5 against United.
Yeah.
So he has to score 5 next game to keep up with them.
To be fair, they're playing Southampton at home, like.
I seen something the other day, someone was saying he could be the first Premier League player to score a double hat-trick in a game.
Wow.
And it wouldn't even shock me.
Yeah.
Seen something the other day, I think after 6 or 7 games, if he would have played, he would have been Everton's like 6th leading goal scorer in the Premiership. 6 games. Not everyone having a Premiership. Yeah. So he's joined 6th with Evans leading goal scorer.
Who is our lead? Lukaku.
Yeah, Lukaku, lad. Yeah. He's on like 86 or something.
He's no more than me. Stato's there. who's like at the minute? What's your players?
I really like Connor Cody and Tarkowski at the minute.
Solid, aren't
they? Yeah, they've probably changed that.
None of them get injured, though. Because you don't want to be putting like a Michael Keane back in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Still got Godfrey to come back, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't know where he'll go, though. Where will he play Godfrey?
Yeah. I don't know. What do you reckon on Lampard?
I like him. I think he's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
He's understood the club, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it's just a great match.
Yeah.
Not the best Everton team you've ever seen, but like you've seen like the clip against Southampton where the front blocks in, like that's what we want, isn't it?
Like, it's like not individuals and like they'll all die for each other sort of thing on the pitch. It's so refreshing to see, and I just don't know. I just think it's, you know what? Look at Arteta, they wanted them sacked last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
And after the start, they had and all that. Now, what he's done to that team, why can't Lampard go and do that with us? Know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Give him enough time.
I think we will give him time as well.
I think we will, because
we've had every type of manager that we can have. Yeah. So
we've talked to him, the fans have talked to him, haven't they? And he's talked to the club, he just gets us. My mate Jody Morris was his number two at
Chelsea.
Derby and Chelsea. And then I was like, Jody was at Lillishaw with me for 2 years.
Yeah.
At the boarding school. So it's like, once Jody comes up here, I'll get a job there at the But he didn't come up with him. Yeah, I've got a lot of time for him, and I think it's a high performance podcast, is it?
Yeah, he
done one on there, and I listened to that, and he was like, come across. So
I've listened
good.
To that. Yeah. It's quite intelligent, isn't it? Holds everything.
So it's exciting times. I think top 10 this year.
Hopefully.
At the start of the season, before we made a bunch of signings, we were talking on this, weren't we? And we were saying doom and gloom, and then I think the two centre-halves especially, and the whole core of the team changed, hasn't it?
Need to get Calvert-Lewin back, and then with him, you know, like, he seems like he's someone, like, you've heard rumours about him struggling and stuff, and he probably is, because he's injured all the time, isn't he?
But
is that frustrating as a player?
Like, injuries?
You're getting little niggles all the time.
Listen, as I said before, I was quick, that was my main asset. How quick I was, but I'd always pull my hamstring, so I'd pull it once every 2 months, and it'd keep me out for like say a week or 10 days. Just couldn't get like a consistent run in the team.
But I still
do me running now, but now it's long distance. And but you're saying about like last game of the season, I was in Dubai. I took me son and daughter to Dubai to see my sister, and we had playing when we played the game at home against the Palace.
Yeah.
And when we stayed up, and so I've gone for a long run. It was like a 10K, and I was struggling in the heat. And I was like, if you stop here now, Everton won't win. This is what I'm saying in my head. So I was like, I had to carry on going. And then a 2-0 down, my son's like, Dad, we're going down. So I was like, don't, we'll pull this back. You know what I mean? We just need an early goal now. And we got one and all that. I was like, oh my God, we just had the game.
Well, I owe him because he got a season ticket. I don't. And you and Aldi were there. So he gave me the ticket. So, yeah.
Well, my son, he has my season ticket because we get a season ticket, and I get another ticket. And he was out there, and he gave it to his mate, and he seen his mate on the pitch running around. Of all the games to miss.
Oh, no, I'm still gutted now, because it's probably easily the best game of my lifetime, and I weren't there.
Well, I remember being at Wimbledon.
Yeah,
I was in the main stand. They had to drop down into like the family enclosure, then on the pitch like that.
I just felt exhausted after it. I felt like I'd played.
Yeah.
Like it was probably an emotional rollercoaster, weren't it? I think it was a 2-0 lap. It was 2-0 half time, weren't it?
Yeah.
It was just like everyone was like, oh, just mad.
Wow.
It's not an Everton thing to happen that either. No, to come back like
to come
that.
Back.
No.
It's just never easy, is it, being an Evertonian? We never do anything the easy way.
We deserve success, don't we?
Someone said to me, being an Evertonian, it's character building. They're not wrong, are they? But no, you know, wouldn't change it for the world. It'd be boring if you won it every week, wouldn't it?
No.
Just like it for one season. Just give us one season. Our new stadium. That's it.
It's gonna be sad though, isn't it, when we leave Goodison?
Yeah. I was saying that to my son. I was saying, like, all the stadiums I played at, they're getting less and less now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, obviously your Highbury went, others have gone as well, and obviously Anfield will always be there, but I'm not bothered about that one.
Yeah. We made that one as well, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
The third ground we're gonna build in Liverpool.
I got tickets to go and watch. Remember Barcelona Liverpool when Barcelona were beating them like 4-0 or 4-1 from the first?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I got me and my son tickets and said, come on, we'll go and watch Messi, one of the greatest players to ever live. He said, Dad, I'm not going that ground. I will not go that ground if Everton aren't playing, simple as that. Okay. Everyone else would have just went.
Good job, you never went.
I'll imagine. Oh, what a bad game that would have got being today too. I done the marathon. Liverpool Marathon this time last year, and you'd run through the ground. I didn't even know, I was fuming. They had the Premier League and the Champions League there, people are stopping, getting kissing it, like, but yeah.
Why'd you not run through Goodison instead?
We'd run through Goodison car park.
Where the quarter cabin is for the whitey.
No, where the fan zone is.
Yeah.
We were running through to Anfield Stadium.
Funny.
But yeah.
Is it hard to do a marathon?
Oh, it was the hardest thing ever.
It's not going to be easy.
No, but that's like my worst nightmare, doing the marathon.
I've done it for our charity.
Yeah.
In the community, so I raised money for that. But it was tough, yeah. I hit a wall about halfway. The second half was just, it was terrible.
When you're training, do you run a marathon to train or?
No, you never run a marathon until the day. But you should do enough training in your legs to be able to do it. But I didn't stick to my training plan too good.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll be all right. I'm good at running, but no. I'm doing another one I'm going to do the Rome one in March. But so I'm going to start training in November for that.
That'd be quite hot, that, as well, in March, won't it?
Started the Colosseum and finished there, so I think I'm a gladiator all night.
You'll have to think, if I stop here, I'm going to go down again.
Oh, we'll be stopping then.
Also, who do you reckon's going to win the World Cup?
Oof, England.
Do you?
Yeah.
It would be funny.
Like, people go mad at me in work because I'm so patriotic, I think. I'm not saying it, but if you played for your country and that, it's like, you always want them to do well.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know that much about, like, the other teams.
I can't think, like, the other teams don't really know how good they are.
Yeah.
Like, the Germans are always going to turn up. They'll be in the semis at least. I think a team not used to playing in the heat.
Yeah.
But then all them Brazilian players playing Europe now anyway, most of them, so...
If England won, it would be funny because the amount of criticism Southgate gets.
Yeah.
Considering he's got them to a final and a semi-final.
Yeah, I've had an easy run, though, in them. I know you've got to win the game still.
Yeah, but still,
in the World Cup, he had an easy run. Did he have Sweden?
Sweden
in the quarters, didn't he? Yeah. Colombia. And then Croatia in the semis. That should really be Croatia.
Yeah.
And he had Denmark, didn't he, in the semi of the Euros or quarter?
No, semis of the Euros then.
Yeah, you'd snap your hand off for that, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
Who's England's group? It's Iran, isn't it?
USA.
USA and
Wales.
Wales. Wales are always all right, you know, in the tournaments. They always get through.
They don't get there much, do they? They bought them Rangers fans or something else yesterday, weren't they? We work by above the, our offices is above the megastore.
Yeah.
So we were walking up around there, like yesterday. Oh my God, they were all around Goodison.
I've seen the videos of them, yeah.
So they hired out the Winslow and the Spellum. Just they hired it out for the night. From 9 o'clock
drinking the
madness. But at least
they liked
that
we were walking around and
all that
stuff and all that.
Mm.
They were all like jumping on us.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, it's not Liverpool.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like there was much, like, trouble, really, did there?
No, on Twitter,
like,
I was getting built up to be World War
III. Yeah.
No, they were all good round us.
Yeah.
So, thanks very much for your time. I think Some good, like, it was a bit of fun, a good takeaway message as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anything you want to promote?
No, I mean, if people want to follow me on Insta or that, I'm going to start doing some personal training and that, and some like counselling, sort of helping people out. Because I feel as though talking and also like being active physically is massive. If I don't go running, I know my head will start going, know what I mean? So I know I'm going to a bad place once I stop running. So I need to run every day, and I've got good people around me now that I can talk to.
Yeah.
So, but thanks, and sorry for messing you about with the dates and all that. Just being up the wall.
Nah, that's
all.
But we got there in the end.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
And cheers, don't forget to like and subscribe and give us a 5-star review on Spotify.
Thanks very much. We hope you enjoyed it. So.